This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Inside Story on BFM 89.9.
Good evening. This is Inside Story with Lee Chui Lin and Shamila Ganesan. Tonight, vaccine booster shots, are we ready?
First, we're weighing out the pros and cons of taking that third shot. Then we look into the logistics of it all, especially timing and supply.
So we want to know how you're feeling about the booster shot being introduced in October. Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. This is Inside Story. It is 6:07, and our Inside Story today has its roots from an announcement from the Health Minister, Khairi Jamaluddin, who said that the government has set the target date for the rollout of the third COVID-19 shot, which is essentially a booster shot for the vaccine, to be at the start of October. Now, he did say that the shot is going to be focused on vulnerable groups, including the elderly who have comorbidities, frontliners in high-risk situations, people who have low immunity, and residents and staff of senior citizen homes. It will also be open to other groups after they've administered the vaccines to this prioritized group. And this is important because, of course, as we know, and as has been said multiple times over, these vulnerable groups make up the majority of deaths and those that are admitted to the ICU. So this is an interesting development because this issue of booster shots, the debate is not really unique to our country. It's something that I think countries around the world have been going back and forth on, particularly with the issue of supply and also when the right time is to administer it.
Yes, and you know, it's that push and pull between the regular rollout, or rather the first phase of the rollout, and whether we are already at the point where we can start administering the booster shots. And I think the challenge here is that when people hear booster shot, there's also this concern of, does that mean that the first two doses didn't work, right? Why are we already starting with boosters when not everyone has gotten their vaccination? So at least to answer that latter question, Prime Minister Dato' Sri Ismail Sabri did say that the booster will be given when immunization coverage of the adult population in the country exceeds 80%, which we have already almost approached. And so that's why this is now happening. And to the earlier point of the effectiveness of the vaccine, Khairi said that the third dose doesn't mean that the first two were ineffective. Instead, what it actually does is to increase our immune system against COVID-19. He also pointed out that other countries have introduced booster shots as well, including the US, UK and Singapore. So that's where we are at, really. I don't know. I think it's an interesting time to be talking about this because places are opening up. We are sort of moving to a different phase. And I think it's got a lot of people wondering when they should be preparing or rather what they should be looking ahead to.
Yes, I did want to say, though, that on this issue of immunization coverage of the adult population in the country exceeding 80%, we have had some difficulties ascertaining what that number actually is. Mm. Because, and this is something that comes up over and over again, all the doctors that we speak to have said the same thing, that whether it's because of outdated census data, whether it's because we are not exactly sure how many workers, how many people have migrated to our country, for instance, because we don't have those numbers in hand. 80%, I mean, it's nice, it's a great round number, but looking at the realities of it on the ground, I think we need to accept that it isn't going to be so on point. You know, it's not going to be exactly to the letter. And that's just something that we need to know about our vaccination rollout, or whenever it is that we tell you that something is the percentage of the adult population in Malaysia. I think that that's sort of important background knowledge to contextualize that number. But the other thing on the subject of the third dose is very simple. It's supply. Because even in getting enough to vaccinate the prioritized groups, much less everybody else, I think there is this question of whether there is going to be a problem with supply, because a lot of countries have already started stocking up supplies for booster shots. We've also seen other countries in general stockpiling vaccines. I think, you know, particularly first world nations, they had more than they necessarily needed and then have now since started distributing and redistributing. But I'm curious to see how we're going to address that.
So the question of supply is actually something that the World Health Organization has actually talked about, right? Because as countries are doing exactly that, stockpiling vaccines for that third shot, we are also seeing other countries still needing vaccine supply. And so the fear here is that if that third shot becomes something that people work towards, then we're going to see a bigger and bigger gap when it comes to this question of vaccine inequity.
Yes, and also vaccine inequity within our country.
Yes.
So was it, I'm sorry, time slips away from me these days, but was it last week or the week before? I think it was last week when we spoke about the issue of vaccine inequity or vaccine supply in Sabah, and how that is also a stumbling block in terms of upping the vaccination rates in that state. So, you know, if we're still talking about it on that level, and that's only on the second shot level, the fully vaccinated level, I think in thinking about booster shots, that's something else to consider. We also haven't gotten into the issues of logistics. So that's a whole other thing. But like we said, we are talking about that third COVID-19 vaccine shot, the booster shot. We'd like to know how you're feeling about it being introduced in October, as announced by the health minister. You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we're going to be joined by Dr. Musa Mohamed Nordin to talk about the pros and cons, really, where everybody's heads are at when it comes to this issue. Keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
It's 6:14 and you're listening to Inside Story with Lynn and Sharmila. We're talking today about COVID-19 booster shots. And this is because the third shot is going to be introduced at the beginning of October, focused on vulnerable groups, as announced by the health minister. But eventually, after that, it will or it could open up. So we'd like to know, how do you feel about the booster shot being introduced? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And to find out more, we're crossing over now to Dr. Musa Mohamed Nordin, consultant pediatrician. Dr. Musa, thanks for speaking with us.
Hi, Lynn, Sharmila.
So tell us, first off, what is the general consensus among the medical community on the booster shot?
Yes, it has been widely discussed among ID physicians, public health doctors, scientists, and the layperson. I think the most robust, the most transparent, and the most evidence-based deliberation was the seven-hour deliberation by the FDA last Friday. I was among 5,000 who watched 7 hours of discussion online, and how I wish the National Pharmacological Regulatory Agency could do similar in Malaysia. Now, the select committee of the FDA rejected the proposal to offer third doses to all persons above 16 years old, 6 months after their second dose. So the FDA only chose to offer the third dose to citizens who are above 65 years old and to those who are at high risk for severe COVID, i.e. this is open to interpretation, and I think they had in mind the those who are immunosuppressed and those who are open to an occupation hazard, as in healthcare workers. Yes, Lynn?
So then what kinds of considerations would go into deciding whether a booster shot is advisable or not?
Probably three: the age of the person. Once you are beyond 60, it has been shown that your neutralizing antibodies begin to fall off. Secondly, the immunosuppressed. These are the ones who have a cancer, who are on dialysis, who are on immunosuppressant drugs, who are on steroids, who had a kidney or heart transplant. Now, they do not mount a good enough immune response after two doses, so they require a third dose, right? And those who are exposed because of their occupation to COVID, and this would include the healthcare workers and the essential services.
So take us through the announcement from the Health Minister. We've heard actually between the Health Minister and the Prime Minister, we've heard some rough guidelines of when it's going to roll out and to who. What do you make of it all?
If I understand correctly, they would roll out the those sometime in October. Those who are chosen are those who are the warga emas beyond 60 years old and the healthcare workers who've had a lapse of 6 months after the second dose and after they have attained what has been described as 80% coverage of the adult population. I'm not sure where that science comes from because the need for a booster dose does not depend on the coverage of your adult population, right? You need to give the warga emas the booster dose because otherwise they would be at high risk for developing severe COVID disease. And thus is the case with the healthcare workers.
So we've seen other countries rolling out the booster shots. How have those efforts been going so far?
Yes, many countries have rolled it out, including our neighbours in Thailand, giving two doses of Sinovac followed by AstraZeneca, and our colleagues in Indonesia, two doses of Sinovac followed by a Moderna vaccine. The only published study comes from Israel, and this study was presented at the FDA Select Committee. At the FDA Select Committee. Now, basically, the Israelis gave a third Pfizer dose, because it's virtually 100% Pfizer dose in Israel. They gave a third Pfizer dose. They rolled it out to about 1 million of their dose above 60, right? And the result was convincing. It decreased severe COVID, i.e. in hospitalization and death, by 20 times. Yeah? So, but then you must remember, they gave Pfizer at 3 weeks. Yeah? Maybe if the Pfizer was extended to 4 weeks, as in the Moderna vaccine, you might be more effective in producing neutralizing antibodies. And similarly, if they had chosen Moderna, I'm just giving you a thought here, that Moderna actually induces a better response in terms of neutralizing antibodies because it's got three times the mRNA content, 100 micrograms in Moderna compared to 30 micrograms in Pfizer. And that's why the studies in Moderna shows that they introduce higher levels of neutralizing antibodies and they last much longer. In fact, that is a thought that they might not even require a booster dose.
So you mentioned there the mixing of vaccines as we've seen abroad. What can you tell us about how mixing affects efficacy?
Mix and match of vaccines, namely adenovector vaccine as in AstraZeneca and J&J with an mRNA vaccine, i.e. either Pfizer or Moderna. Now, this has been reported since the first quarter of this year. And the first studies came from Spain, AZ followed by mRNA. And the increases in the immune response was duplicated in the UK study. So this has now been reproducible in something like 10 studies. And I'm aware that there are now 19 ongoing studies looking at this mix and match. Yeah. And our colleagues in the Thai have actually shown data whereby when you give a third AZ to two Sinovac recipients, you get a boost of the antibody levels, which were protective. The same thing in Chile. They found that with, because 80% of the vaccines in Chile was Sinovac, they found that with the Delta virus, there was a decline, fourfold decline of the effectiveness of the neutralizing antibodies. So the Chilean government has decided to boost it with either a third Sinovac dose, which studies have shown increases the antibody levels by 3 to 5 times, or with an mRNA vaccine, i.e. a Pfizer vaccine.
So the decision is to start booster shots once we've fully vaccinated over 80% of our adult population. What do you make of this marker and timeline?
Well, as I mentioned to you, the only rationale for this 80% is that we want to make sure that every adult, or at least 8 out of 10 adults, are vaccinated, because we know that the major drivers of transmission are those who are unvaccinated. And they are the ones who carry the highest risk of serious disease. And the beds in the ICU and in the hospitals, about 90% are taken up by the unvaccinated. So I think that's where that figure comes from.
So we have a question from WhatsApp from Stephen, who wants to know, are we administering this third dose too soon? If I'm not mistaken, the longer the interval, the more effective, considering that our elders were only fully vaccinated around May and June. Is it therefore too soon?
I agree with you that the longer you space out the third dose, the better the performance would be. Yeah, there has been a study in recently published, I think on the 17th of September, we showed that when Pfizer was given sometime in March, May, the vaccine efficacy was 93%. When they did they followed up for 120 days, that 4 months, the vaccine efficacy had dropped to 77%. This was not the same with Moderna because it is spaced out 4 weeks compared to 3 weeks of Pfizer. And of course, as I mentioned to you, the doses were higher. So Moderna in March, May, March, April was 93%. 4 months later was still 93%. So yes, 4 to 6 months after your second dose.
So, Dr. Musa, assuming that there are enough supplies to go around, should everyone receive a booster shot?
Shamila, my short answer is no. The science only indicates the third shot for those who are above 60 and those who are immunosuppressed or those who have an occupational exposure to COVID. Because the two primary shots, dose one and two, showed that the benefit outweighs the risk. But with a third shot, there might be increased risk being introduced too soon or too frequently. What are these risks that we must consider? One is, especially with mRNA vaccines, which have immune-mediated adverse effects, such as myocarditis, which has been shown to be more common after the second dose of the mRNA vaccine. Of course, let me qualify by saying that if you get COVID, your risk of getting myocarditis is 16 times. And with the adenovector vaccine, i.e. your AZ and JJ, there has been shown to be the risk of Guillain-Barré syndrome. So we do not want unnecessary boosting because it may cause significant adverse effects. And of course, this may have implications, you know, with regards to vaccine acceptance, and it may boost the anti-vax agenda. Yes, Shamila and Lynn.
Dr. Musa, I'm curious, so we know that it's going to be rolled out to vulnerable groups first, but after that, it will open up to other people. Would you suggest that everyone, for example, consults with their doctor before making this kind of decision?
Well, Lynn, there is no evidence that the third dose would benefit anyone from the ages of 16 to 60. There is no study to qualify that. Because you must remember, this was a point that was well made by Paul Offit. He's a professor of pediatrics, a co-founder of the rotavirus vaccine. He said that the preservation of vaccine effectiveness is not just dependent on the neutralizing antibodies. You must remember, we have the beta and T cells, which are cell-mediated, which are memory-mediated, and therefore they have a longer protection, right? So they may not even need a third shot, unless the studies prove otherwise.
Dr. Musa, any final thoughts before we let you go?
Well, I think number one, I wish the NPRA would be as transparent and robust as the FDA. And number two, I think we need to realize that this third shot is meant for the elderly beyond 60, the immunosuppressed, and the healthcare workers. Very select groups of people, yeah? Because of their exposure to the virus or because of their waning immunity. And trust me, this vaccine has been shown to be very effective against severe infection. It has been shown to be protective 96%, Moderna and Pfizer, against hospitalization and death. AZ has been shown to be protective against hospitalization and death 92%. The J&J vaccine, 71%. So it has done us well. We need to just get the two doses into our community, achieve that 90% population immunity, then I think we may be ahead of the curve, ahead of the virus. Yes, Lynn and Shamila.
Dr. Musa, thank you so much for joining us.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you very much.
That was Dr. Musa Mohamed Nordin, consultant pediatrician, talking us through the pros and cons and helping us understand, really, this announcement from the health minister, which is circling this idea that the third booster shot, the third COVID-19 vaccine booster shot, is going to be rolled out for vulnerable groups at the start of October. So we've been asking you for your thoughts. Keep them coming. How do you feel about the booster shot being introduced in our country? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Brainy, fancy material. BFM 89.9.
It's 6:38 and you're listening to Inside Story with Lynn and Sharmila. Our focus today is on COVID-19 vaccine booster shots. So this is something that the health minister has said is going to roll out at the start of October. To be clear, it is going to focus on vulnerable groups. So the elderly with comorbidities, frontliners in high-risk situations, people with low immunity and residents and staff of senior citizen homes. So it's not necessarily for the wider public. We heard earlier on from our first guest, Dr. Musa Mohamed Nordin, consultant pediatrician, about some reasons as to why perhaps for the general public it may not be necessary anyway. But we'd like to hear from you. How are you feeling about the booster shot being introduced? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We do have this message here from Anonymous weighing in.
So we have, let's say, so they say booster dose for vaccines are not uncommon. The Hep B vaccine booster dose, for instance, after three doses, it's common to help our immune system to produce antibodies.
So I think, I guess I wish that everybody perhaps thought of the COVID-19 vaccine as a regular vaccine.
because if only it were.
because I think that the problem here is that while that's a salient point, the issue, I suppose, is the way in which the vaccine's been politicized, or the fact that its newness and novelty therefore means that people are worried, right, about or worried about newness, actually, is all it comes down to, overwhelmed by the amount of information coming their way about the vaccine, something we've talked about. I think all these things mean that even when you draw comparisons, as people have done, as you are doing, Anonymous, to, existing vaccines that we take anyway, for some reason, it doesn't sink in.
Yes, and perhaps it'll take some time, right? Once, so with like Hep B vaccines, for instance, we are sort of used to this process. Even with flu shots, people are used to the process of getting annual flu jabs. I would like to think that this is something that perhaps people will be eventually more used to, this idea of having to get boosters.
Yeah, it actually reminds me of something that we spoke about with our next guest, in fact, which is the idea of who is allowed or who can administer COVID-19 vaccine shots, because it feels like a while ago now, but there were conversations around GPs, right? And whether or not GPs should be allowed or should be permitted to be part of the rollout. And doctors kept pointing out they have been doing so for ages. And yet somehow with this particular vaccine, it feels like there's an exception around it. But anyways, keep those thoughts coming. How do you feel about the booster shot being introduced? Because the health minister has said it will be rolling out for specific groups at the start of October. You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, earlier on in talking about this, we did discuss the issue of timing, i.e. When is the best time to administer it, but also supply, whether or not we're going to have enough for this rollout. So joining us to discuss that now is Professor Dr. Han Rusli, Public Health Medicine Specialist and Director of the Selangor Task Force for COVID-19 Operation. Dr. Fahan, thanks for speaking with us.
Hi, good to be back.
So, okay, let's start with this. How does the vaccination rate of the adult population factor into when the booster shots should be given? Because the Prime Minister has said that they're aiming for that 80% coverage.
Well, I think, first of all, when you are talking about booster shots and also the rollout for the current adult population and moving on to adolescents and so forth, I think you have to revert back to the data and science, which means that rolling out of the booster shots cannot be something which is primed based on what you feel is the right time, but rather it must be based on the data that's available. So for some booster shots, we know that for some of the Sinovac recipients, it will be after 6 months, while Moderna and Pfizer have said that they should be giving out after 8 months when we see countries such as the UK and the US, as well as Israel. I think Israel has rolled out more than 2 million doses, and it gives a timeline of the third dose or the booster shot 8 months after receiving the second dose. So it's not a question whether when they should roll out, but rather it should be rolled out according to the data that's available. And that is something which I believe we have not gotten down to the science yet.
Yes, and when you were on the show last, you did speak about that difficulty in identifying the true number of those vaccinated because of outdated numbers and so on. How does that impact the timing of the booster shot rollout, especially considering this issue of supply?
Well, that's what Shamil, is exactly what I mean. It's because the denominator that is we are unsure, not knowing how many people have been vaccinated. And then with the doses or the vaccines being mixed, which means that there are certain pockets of the population receiving certain kind of vaccines, a certain pocket of another population receiving another kind of vaccines, even amongst the same group. So what do I mean by among the same group? So even among doctors, not all of them have Pfizer. Some get Sinovac or some get AstraZeneca. And some other groups also have what you call that, such as the police and the other frontliners. So they also have mixed types of vaccines. And when you want to roll this out, it's going to be such a mismatch. At the same time, the general population of you not knowing when is it for you to reach 80% because of the, what we say, the cloudy denominator, you do not know whether the 80% is actually an actual 80%. It may perhaps be in reality only 65. So that is why I say you have to fall back on what is the data given to us rather than deciding on an arbitrary number, such as once we reach 80% population or adult population, we will then roll out the booster shots, because then it doesn't tally to what you are trying to be focusing on, which is trying to boost the immunity or the antibodies inside the person. So this has to fall back to science rather than making it based on what we say, I cannot find that word, suitability of the situation. That's it, right? Trying to suit the situation rather than trying to suit the science.
So we want to talk a bit about the logistics of how this is going to roll out. Before that, though, we did receive some messages from listeners with questions. Daniel, for instance, would like to know, does it mean that when it comes to booster jabs, it might not help the immunocompromised all that much because the immunity will wane off regardless, so they will have to continue getting these boosters?
Well, number one, what is important is that countries such as Germany and France have already rolled this out to people who are in this specific group, such as the immunocompromised. I think when you give this sort of data to people who are immunocompromised and you give them the signs explaining that they might probably need this booster shot or these doses annually, such as every year, to protect them from a disease which may be life-threatening, it would not be such a bad thing for them, because it's exactly like influenza vaccines. I mean, we get our influenza shots every year. It has never caused a problem. And I think that this is where we have to understand and draw the line into who should be getting these booster shots or vaccines, because we cannot be thinking of giving it to every single person, because at the same time, some of the vaccines itself, which are single dose, we don't have the data of booster, you know. So it's a very tricky part of the vaccination process. But at the same time, the real honest answer is that we are all still learning about the developments of what's actually happening and what is actually really needed for the booster doses and who should actually be receiving them.
We have Vi with this question as well. They want to know, may I know how the vaccinated are spreading or transmitting the virus? From this data by the government, and they share an infographic from the 5th of September, it's clearly showing that both vaccinated and unvaccinated people are equally transmitting the virus. Can you explain this?
Well, the first thing that you must understand, we have to go back to the basics, right? We go back to influenza because everybody knows about the common flu, the common cold, right? So you get your influenza vaccine, but you can still get the flu. And you can pass it on to your family members. It's exactly the same method. You may get vaccinated with COVID-19 vaccines. You can still pass on the virus. You see, the part of the vaccine is to actually protect you to reduce the risk of you developing severe COVID, is to reduce the risk of you getting hospitalized. But you can still get COVID and you can still pass this on to other people. Although with vaccinations, you reduce the transmissibility of the virus and spreading out to other people. So perhaps last time you may infect 10 other people or 5 other people or 3 other people. But perhaps now you may infect one or you may not infect another person at all. So that's the real onus of the vaccine. It is not a golden bullet. It is just a silver bullet in helping you prevent from getting severe COVID and reducing the risk of transmissibility.
We have with us today Dr. Farhan Rusli, public health medicine specialist, talking to us about the logistics such as timing, supply, you know, just helping us understand the COVID-19 booster shot. So we'd like to hear from you. We're going to continue the conversation after this, but let us know if you have questions. Let us know if you have thoughts about the booster shot being introduced. That number to call is 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio.
Bringing fresh meaning. BFM 89.9.
It's 6:49 and you're listening to Inside Story with Lynn and Sharmila. We're continuing our conversation now with Dr. Farhan Rusli, Public Health Medicine Specialist, as well as Director of the Selangor Task Force on COVID-19 Operations. We've been talking about the logistics surrounding the COVID-19 booster shot, which is due to roll out in October for specific groups. And now we come to this issue of supply, which I think is a very tricky one, both internationally as well as if we look at even between the states in our country. So, Dr. Farhan, thanks for holding on the line with us. Now, other nations we've seen dominate global vaccine supplies, stocking up on booster doses, stocking up on them in the first place, even before booster doses were a conversation. How has this impacted vaccine supply in our country?
Well, I think the first thing that we have to note is that we are talking about preparedness and also our outbreak response. So being honest here, during the first vaccine rollout, we were actually quite late going into the game. By the time we had our first vaccine doses, Canada had already stocked up 300% more than their population needed of vaccine supply. So we see other countries doing this because why? Because they knew that in case they would need to boost or get a third dose for their population or their oncoming populations, they would need that vaccine doses to be ready. So they were actually getting prepared so that they would vaccinate the adolescents as well. So even prior to the data and the science being revealed, they stocked up early, knowing that the data will come. And if the data was showing that they could get the vaccine, they would have the vaccine already ready. Now, we are already late in that sense. At the same time, when we talk about the Pfizer vaccines, we know that the global supply and the shipments coming into our country has always, there's always some sort of hindrance. There's always some sort of issues pertaining to it. And this may in turn affect issues on giving third doses or booster doses. Why do I say this? Because now you have to start rethinking your priorities. When you want to start vaccinating your adolescents, the ages between 12 to 17, you know that they have already approved only the Pfizer, BioNTech vaccines and the Moderna vaccines, right? So Malaysia only has Pfizer right now in stock. But at the same time, you have your frontliners and your medical health workers who also gotten the Pfizer vaccines. Do you now mix the vaccines using other type of vaccines? And we know that Pfizer and Pfizer usually is given only with another Pfizer vaccine, a Moderna vaccine, or AstraZeneca vaccines, with all these three vaccines in extremely limited supply. So that is why I think it's imperative that we must understand that prior to making populist announcements, you have to ensure that you are able to deliver on what you are saying, because it's going to look really, really bad when you start boosting a certain pocket of the population when another pocket of the population also needs it. Now, this is where we talk about equity. This is also where we talk about risk communication and effective rollout of the vaccination plan, because you do not want this mismatch going on. Because I'm going to pose this question back to you. How are you going to make sure and determine that a certain person is more risky, so therefore he needs to get the booster or the third dose compared to another person, when in reality that other person may be even at higher risk? Now, when you do this, when you open up these floodgates, you're going to have a problem if you do not have enough to give it to everyone who actually needs it.
So then, looking at it on an individual level, right, does that third dose have to be taken within a specific time after you've been fully vaccinated? Basically, is there such a thing as an ideal time that might resolve some of these challenges?
Well, the data is suggesting that for the mRNA vaccines, and we can take Israel as an example, a prime example, why we always use Israel, because they are one of the first people to first countries to actually get the vaccines roll out quite early. And they have already given 2 million booster or third dose vaccines to their population, right? And this is the mRNA-based vaccines, because they only have Pfizer and Moderna in their country. So if you look at, well, the first person who received the Pfizer BioNTech, we don't have to mention his name, but we know who he is in the country, right? So he gotten it on the 24th of February, if I'm not mistaken. So he would have completed it in the first week of March. So now you're looking at April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November. So in 1.5 months, in about 6 weeks, you have to decide whether these people actually need to be getting their next dose or their third dose of booster vaccine, right? And there is also some data that's coming in where they say that Sinovac itself, where the paper has been published from Thailand, saying that after 6 months, they should be boosted with either Sinovac or with AstraZeneca to boost their immunity levels. But then now the question becomes, who do you want to boost? Who should be getting it? How do you roll it out? How are you going to prioritize? Who should be given? And do you mix the vaccines? Do you not? So you have to make sure that your data and science is all in the right order before you make announcements which you are unsure how you want to follow through. Because if you do that and you mess it up, you're going to go back to square one, where people are now going to be losing trust into what your plan is, right? And this is what we want to avoid.
And that's actually what I want to pick up on, because we have been seeing some feedback of people feeling disheartened that a third shot appears to be required, wondering what this says about the efficacy of the vaccines. How would you respond to that?
Well, I think the people should, in a layman term, we should just say, just chill out, relax, right? If you need to get the third shot of the vaccines, if it's necessary for you, if you are going to be considered in the high-risk group and you're going to get it, I think it's just another day about getting a shot in the clinic and you're just going to get the vaccine and you go home. There's no 2 cents about it. You don't have to think about it too much, because as you can see that the vaccines are quite safe. We have not seen a vaccine-related death in our country until today. So that is something that you can go on. So I think getting the third shot of the vaccine shouldn't be such a damper, because you are already getting, or you should be getting, your yearly influenza shots. So even if we come up with an announcement and say that everybody must get their COVID-19 vaccines every year to update on variants, people should not be throwing up their hands in the air as though it is something absolutely shocking, because it is something that you should expect, because as you want to protect yourselves, you know that you need to get an updated sense of protection. So people should just understand it, but the government should play a bigger role in making people understand and passing over the knowledge and information, so that people are at ease and thinking that if we do this, we can go back to normalcy. We can go back to how it was before the pandemic.
Dr. Farhan, any final thoughts from you?
Well, I think when we touch on these vaccines and we talk about booster doses and supply, I think it's very critical now that we be as open as it is, talking on both sides. I think the government should also listen to the public into how they feel about getting booster doses. And when the government has announced that not everyone should get it, then you leave a very gray area where people will start interpreting whether they should be getting it or they should not be getting it. So I think this is where effective risk communication has to play a big role, so that people completely understand what's about to happen and they can actually prepare themselves for what will happen.
Dr. Farhan, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Welcome. Thanks. Bye.
That was Assistant Professor Dr. Farhan Rusli, Public Health Medicine Specialist and Director of the Selangor Task Force on COVID-19 Operations, talking to us about the logistics and really continuing to help us understand, right, what is going on and what kind of information we need on the COVID-19 booster shots, which the Health Minister has said will roll out for specific groups in October. So we've been asking you for your thoughts and we have messages.
So Amirul says, I read an article about booster COVID-19 vaccines, and in summary, it's a gamble, but it is worth taking due to new evidence based on waning immunity. Certain countries like the UK are administering booster shots already. However, as far as I understand, the issue is supply. Even if we have adequate supply for boosters, wouldn't that mean denying those from low-income countries their vaccines when many are struggling with the rate due to the supply constraint? And Amirul, that's exactly what the WHO has pointed out, right? And something that we've seen happening even from the beginning when we saw the higher income, more developed countries stockpiling vaccines at the expense of countries that needed them.
Or looking at states in Malaysia that are struggling with issues of supply. So how are you going to balance that out, right? These are the questions. Keep those thoughts coming. You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be back for more. This has been Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.